we turn to the best in the business when it comes to Celtics Insight, our friend John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, my head's spinning here the last few days, but I want to sort some things out, and there are a lot of different ways to approach these Kevin Durant, Jaylen Brown rumors. Let's start with this. Where did this originate, do you think?
I think Sean Marks called up a few friends and said, look, we are, I think this is a signal that the talks aren't going as quickly or as well as Sean Marks wanted them to. So he said, hey, let me just put it out there that there's some competition. And I don't know how serious these talks are for the Celtics, but I think the genesis of this is Brooklyn needed to create a market to spur the market on a little bit to set a price for Kevin Durant. So the other teams that are actually really pursuing are going to maybe pony up a little bit more and maybe shake one of those guys free that those teams might not have given up otherwise.
I saw you say this during another interview. If the Celtics wanted to trade for Kevin Durant, they've had opportunities to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we can rely on here is that the Celtics have had opportunities, right? Like Kevin Durant wanting a trade is not something new. They had the opportunity to inquire about this a long time ago. And if there was a real deal to be had that involved Jaylen Brown and others, they could have done it because they still would have had their traded player exception. They couldn't have used it for necessarily the trade of Kevin Durant, but they could have used it to acquire a second player in that deal, or they could have used it after acquiring Durant to kind of build up around him and Tatum and add guys to the bench. You know what I mean? So they gave up opportunities to build a full team around Durant because Boston would have had to give up not just Jaylen Brown, but Derek White or Marcus Smart or Grant Williams or some combination of two or three of those guys. And if you're going to give up 3 for 1 or 3 for 2 or 4 for 2, you're going to want to get those 2 or 1 difference back. And I just feel like if they had the tools to do that, they would have made the trade and used those tools. And because they gave up all of their tradable assets, they let the TPE expire, all of that stuff tells me that they didn't want to trade Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant. It doesn't make any sense to give up all of that stuff and then now, heading into August, give up a bunch of players when there's no way to rebuild what you gave up.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. What impact do these rumors have on a Jaylen Brown?
I don't know. That's the interesting part, because I think on the surface, it's very easy for Brad Stevens to say, look, man, I did my due diligence. A superstar player was available. I called them up to see, hey, what would it take? We're trying to make our team better. And they said, they brought your name up. And I said, not going to happen. And then they spun it as we're having a conversation. So Brad can reasonably level with Jaylen and say, we really didn't stop you. I made a call. This was how the conversation went. And that happened weeks ago. And I haven't revisited it because I don't want to trade you. And that could be it. Now, Jaylen could be annoyed. He could be annoyed by the whole thing. He could say, I'm sick of my name popping up in rumors. Or he can take it as a compliment and say, hey, if Brooklyn has to give up Kevin Durant, getting Jaylen Brown back would be a nice return, and be flattered by the moment and move on from it. So hard to say because I'm not inside Jaylen's head. I'm sure it's annoying to constantly have your name come up in trade rumors, but I think knowing what the business of the NBA is, knowing how media is used to leak information, I think you can get past it somewhat easily.
So if the Celtics wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant, it would sure seem that he's about as close to untouchable as you can get.
I mean, yeah, I think the situation dictates that, all right, in this particular case, yeah, Jaylen Brown is untouchable. And you probably don't want to just give him up for anything. So I would say that's a fair statement to make. Now, if this was 4 years ago and we're talking about 30-year-old Kevin Durant and 26-year-old Jaylen Brown, well, now we're at a different point in time. At that point, you say, well, maybe you want to make that move. Maybe that's a move that you have to make because you know you're getting more years of Durant's prime, and you can talk yourself into that a lot more easily. I think the situation with Jaylen being 25, almost 26, about to really start entering his prime, starting to probably show you better basketball, your team having just gone to the finals, I think all of that stuff, plus Durant really turning the corner now at 34, he's great, but you don't know how much longer he's going to be great. I think the situation tells you that it's just too much to give up a 26-year-old potential all-star. I know that Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant, but I don't know how much longer he's going to be Kevin Durant, and you don't want to have those years of regret later on.
Is there any chance this was all dreamed up by the Boston radio stations to give them something to talk about since the Red Sox stink, and then this would liven things up?
I mean, I'm sure they're sitting there like very thankful that it came up and very, very willing to run with it now that it did come up. But yeah, I mean, look, I don't think some of these hot take radio shows are going to be where you want to go for the nuance behind a conversation like this. But yeah, whenever the controversy comes up in the should you or shouldn't you trade a guy, that's just lifeblood for those kind of sports talk radio shows, especially, like you said, especially with the Red Sox. Let's just say not being good.
John Corrales with us here on Downtown. So, John, we've got a ways to go in the offseason, but overall in the East, who has improved themselves the most since the end of the finals?
Oof. I think Philly, I mean, aside from Boston, who I think has done a great job, I think getting Brogdon is a huge deal, and Gallinari, that just addresses a lot the Celtics have needed to address. I think Philadelphia has a strong chance of jumping into the conversation, the contender conversation. They made a couple of nice moves, D'Anthony Melton, getting P.J. Tucker, getting James Harden to kind of give back some money so they can make all of these moves. I mean, it's been a nice summer for them. I think they can probably be seen as one of the most improved teams. I think, you know, Toronto added some nice pieces, and they continue to get these 6'7" guys with 8-foot-long wingspans, you know, the Toronto mold. But I'd say Philly, just because those moves have the potential, and we'll see. Those moves have the potential to make them very formidable in the East.
I want to say I think Tom Westerholm is on to something here, along with your always outstanding coverage of the NBA. Your freeze frame game is top notch.
You know, you got to draw the people in visually. You got to give them a little sense of what the podcast is in one snapshot. So I'm constant. Not only are we doing the podcast, I'm constantly scouring for the right reaction to put in that thumbnail so people can go, oh. Well, I want to see what this moment was about.
I love it. Well, if you're not listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast, you just don't know Celtics like you should. John Corrales, thanks as always, my friend. We'll catch you next week.
All right. Talk to you then.